We have two gospel readings this morning. The first is the Palm Sunday reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 37 to 40, and that can be found on page 83 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." And he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." Our second gospel reading is the Passion Sunday reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 13 through 21, which can be found on page 88 of the Pew Bible. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people. And he said to them, "You have brought this man Jesus as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" And this was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" May God bless the reading of their word.
This morning I want to tell you something that I believe with all my heart. There will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. There has been a Church of Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years, and there will be one for the next 2,000 years. Church of Jesus Christ has survived schisms, wars, reformations, scandals, moral failures, corruptions, and every other dysfunction that a human institution is capable of. The Church has tried them all, but through it all, somehow, somewhere, in ways imperceptible at times and crystal clear at other times, the Spirit of God has moved to give rebirth and new life to the Church of Jesus Christ. There will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. There will not always be an Underwood Memorial Baptist Church. Heck, there might not even always be a Baptist Church of any kind. There might not always be any denominations as we know them today. No Methodists, Lutherans, maybe even someday, no Catholics. But there will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. All of our buildings will fall down. All of our institutions will go away. All of our bylaws and systems and structures will cease. All of our endowments will dry up. But there will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. Because even if every person on the planet stops proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, the stones themselves will shout out his glory. There will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. You know what this means, friends? It means we can't really screw this up. I mean, we can. We can make mistakes. We have. We will continue to do so. But we cannot screw it up so bad that the Church ceases to be. Because there will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. We do not have the power to stop it. It's not up to us to keep it going. Nothing we can possibly do will deliver the fatal blow. There will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. So let's take a deep breath, shall we? Let's take the idea that we must save the Church off the table. It's not up to us to save the Church. It never has been. The Church doesn't belong to us, and we are not in control of it. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, and it will always be. So this brings up a question I want us to think about. if we take this idea that we have to save the church off the table, out of our minds, what does that open up for us? What possibilities that right now feel too risky or too out there suddenly feel reasonable? If we're no longer worried about the church's longevity or survivability, what do we want to do? If we could truly do whatever we thought was best right now in the moment, not worried about saving the future or preserving the past, what would we want to do? What would truly be the most Christ-like, kingdom-focused thing that we can imagine together? Take a second and imagine that for yourself. If you were not worried about saving or preserving this church, what would you do differently in your life? How might that free you or change you? Because the Church of Jesus Christ will always exist, we can rest. We can be comforted. Now, I'm not trying to talk us out of coming to church, or serving in the church, or giving to the church, or doing the things we've always done in the church, but what I want to take off the table is this overwhelming sense that we are doing these things because we have to. I mean, I have to. I work here, but you don't. I want us to do what we do because it gives us life. I want us to do what we do because it brings us joy. I want us to serve because we believe in what we are serving. We believe we're making a difference. And I want us to think, really stop and think, and ask ourselves, what is the most faithful use of our time, our talents, and our resources? Is it what we're doing now, or might it be something else? So we've been doing the same thing for a long time. The same basic Sunday morning service, the same jobs, the same four or five people on ministry council, same Bible study, same Sunday school, same outreach ministry. Now, and I'm not trying to say that just because we've been doing something for a long time that it's bad, or that we shouldn't be doing it that way. Maybe we've been doing it that way for a long time because we like it. And in some instances, that's probably true. But to be honest, Underwood, the sense that I have gotten is that some of the things that we've been doing a long time, we haven't been doing them a long time because they're working. We've been doing them for a long time because we never stop and ask ourselves, is this really what we want to be doing? We never stop and ask ourselves, is this the best use of our time and our energy and our resources? And of course, we're not alone in this. The church, specifically the mainline church, has been doing the same thing for decades. It is part of what's got us into the position we're in. We haven't changed. We have held on to what worked in the past and hoped it would work again in the future, despite the fact that it's not working in the present. Because as we've talked about before, we can't avoid it anymore. It's not working in the present. So what do we do now? That's what we're asking. That's what I want us to be continuing to consider. And I want us each to have our own answer. So think about this as you go home. Think about what you would want to do different. At least in your own life, if not in the whole church. What do we want to do now? Not what do we think will save the church, that's not up to us. But what do we want to do now? Think about it and let's talk about it. Because, as I say, there will always be a Church of Jesus Christ, no matter what we do or don't do. There will always be a Church of Jesus Christ. So we're free, friends. Free to pursue what God has for us in this moment. But we have to act as if we're free, not beholden to a past or trapped by a present, but truly free to respond to God's leading in this moment. And we're only going to figure that out together. We will only figure it out what it is that God wants us if we're open and honest together. But I want to keep thinking and look a little further in the story for what Sean read from us. Jesus is at trial. The crowds have gathered, and I think we can assume and are meant to picture that at least some of the same folks who were shouting hosannas as Jesus entered the city, are now saying, crucify him before the courts. How in the world does that happen? How does a crowd go from praising his name to calling for him to be killed? How does the spirit of a group of people change so much so quickly? Because we see this kind of thing in our real life, don't we? I mean, how does a country go from electing and then re-electing its first African-American president to then electing its arguably most racist president? And then maybe doing it again 8 years later. How does the spirit of a country change so much, so fast? I think the answer is fear. Anger too, but mostly fear. Fear that change is happening too quickly. Fear that the power and privilege of white America is losing its grip. Fear, and then again, I think anger too. That one person couldn't fulfill all the promises and solve all the problems of a nation, whether that one person be a president or be a savior, a prophet. It is easy to look at the crowds at Jesus' trial and want to throw up our hands and give up on humanity. It's easy to look at our electoral politics and want to throw up our hands and give up on our country. To imagine that all the work and all the stories and all the miracles that lead up to this point in Jesus' life mean nothing if this is how people will respond. If this is how people are going to respond to progress and change, why even try? But you see, we know it's not the end of the story. That the crowds and the law and the powers that be and even death itself are not the end of the story for Jesus. And it's not the end of the story for the church either. As we worry about the church's future, as we think about what comes next for Underwood, as we shrink back at times from the uncomfortable decisions and tasks and discussions that lie before us, I just want to remind us that all things that live die, that even Jesus died. But it was in Jesus' death that the greatest miracle happened. It was in Jesus' death where resurrection happened. It was in Jesus' death that the church itself was born to begin with. So friends, I guess what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that we cannot let fear be our guide. We are the church of Jesus Christ. We will always be. The Spirit of God wants to do new things in us, in the church, in the nation, around the world. I believe it. I really do. But we got to say yes. We got to be willing to try. We have to stop being afraid. Stop feeling like it's up to us to save the church. It's not up to us to save the church. Because no matter what we do, there will always be a church of Jesus Christ. Amen.